Cairo, Seattle.
It's time to get schooled with a professor, Sean Clayton.
Welcome to Schooled with a Professor, and it's hard to believe. Season starting for the Seahawks, season starting for the National Football League. Lots of good things going on, and of course, it's going to give a preview of the Seahawks and get in-depth on this. And nobody better than Steve Vrabel, voice of the Seahawks, to get into this team. And Steve, joining us here on Schooled with a Professor. When you look at this team and you see it's a reset, you've seen a lot of resets and you've seen a lot of rebuilding through the years. Where would you put this team in perspective to other teams that you've broadcast about and seen or played on as far as a rebuild or a reset?
Well, I would definitely, John, put it in that first category of the reset. When you're talking rebuild, you're talking about getting rid of you know, the guys who were not only the bulwark of the guys that either won you games or some of the older guys that maybe didn't win enough games, as we've seen in years past, decades past. This group still has some of those really important cogs, and that is the leadership guys and the guys who really make it happen, i.e. Russell Wilson, certainly. Doug Baldwin on offense. Tyler Lockett is still there, both on offense and special teams. You actually have an offensive line that I think is a pretty strong group and is playing much better than they did a year ago. On defense is where the real reset is. Yes, you still have Bobby. KJ's not playing this week. You've got a host of new players around him. I think that's where the reset is really going to be. And as you know, and I was just, in fact, writing about it for our scouting report show here on Cairo 7 later this week, and that is the communication when you have a lot of new guys oftentimes is the thing that really suffers the most. Until you can get all on the same page, and a guy like Bobby Wagner knows by looking at your stance what you're going to do, or can know just by looking into your eyes if you're the cornerback or the strong safety. He's got now to deal with a whole lot of new players, and that's going to take a little bit of time.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I compare this to 2011. You know, they come off the first year of Pete Carroll. They had all the guys that they had brought in, 250 transactions and all that stuff. And they come in and they go 7-9. They get the beast mode playoff game. But they had Tavares Jackson at quarterback. That's the big difference, because now Tavares Jackson, who was not a very good fourth quarter quarterback, I don't know if he ever had a fourth quarter comeback. If he did, it was very few. And that's Russell Wilson's specialty. And that's when you take about a top five quarterback, it's rare that a top five quarterback is going to lose more than eight games. I researched it all the way back to 2008, and it came up with five instances, and I'll throw this to you to see if you would tend to agree. You know, like in the case of Matt Ryan, he had a 4-12, 6-10, but he had no running game, and they gave up 27 to 28 points a game. Then you go to the 3 years that Drew Brees went 7-9, they gave up 27 to 29 points a game. I have no idea what happened to Cam Newton after the 15-1 season. I know he's banged up, but they go 6-10. Those are the only six examples. Now, I throw this to you. Is the running game going to be pretty good, which I think it can be? And the defense, I can't see giving up more than 23 points a game.
I think you're right on both those counts. And let's put it this way, in the words of the professor, if it's not, if they give up more than 23 or 24 points a game, if the running game really doesn't step up, and I mean considerably from where it was a year ago, then this team will have difficulties, even with Russell. And they saw that a year ago, you know, a 9-7 team, yes, but with virtually no running game, with virtually no way to convert third downs except by Russell's, generally with his feet or his arm, and with all the injuries they had and the inability to convert oftentimes, and especially in the red zone, just absolutely awful in the red zone and in running situations. If they don't improve on those things, then yeah, it's going to be a long season. But I think they have. I agree with you. First of all, Chris Carson, I was in the meeting with Pete and a couple of the players who came in on Wednesday, and Doug Baldwin was one. And somebody asked him about Carson, and all he said, two words, a beast. And that's all you really have to say. This guy is ready to play. The injury last year, while it wasn't a freak injury, it took a long time to heal, but it also gave him time to get bigger and stronger. And he's a quiet young man who does all of his talking with his legs and his shoulders and his arms, and he is a load to bring down. And you put him and Rashad Penny back there, I just don't see how you can't be a better running attack than they were. And with Bobby Wagner in the middle and when KJ is healthy. And even better, I think, guys up front at stopping the run, I think we should be okay versus the run. I'm a little nervous about the pass because I don't know if we're going to be able to get enough pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, but that's the thing that I think is very positive about this team, because I think that with the Mike Solari blocking scheme, which I think is good, I think Brian Schottenheimer probably, if things go right, I mean, he can move himself into a head coaching role, because I think that he'll get as much out of the running game and the offense as he can. And that's the key, because, I mean, this is the difference, because we're so different about this team is that it won so much on defense and Russell Wilson. Now it's the order Russell Wilson, the offense, and then the defense.
Mm-hmm. And that's somewhat antithetical to what Pete likes to do and what won this team a championship and got him in a second one, because the defense was just so overwhelmingly good. But it's going to take a little while for that defense again to get back together between the chemistry and the communication that's involved and everybody knowing where everybody fits and if in fact Earl is going to continue to fit on this defense or not. So there are those questions, and you're right. So the offense is going to have to put some points up on the board. Russell was as sharp as I have seen him ever in preseason. He really looked good. And that coupled with a receiver like Brandon Marshall who can help you out in the red zone, he didn't have Doug the entire preseason, and now he's got his security blanket back. I think the offense will be better, and because the running game will be better, it will make the passing attack and the play-action pass and the bootleg passing game much more effective.
No question. What do you like about the improvements in Russell Wilson from last year to this year?
Well, one of the things I like is first of all, Russ has always been coachable. I mean, you don't get where he is and not listen to people. I remember us getting on the plane in his early years after a game, whether we won or lost, and the first thing he would do would be walk by or walk over and sit down next to Warren Moon and ask, you know, what did you see from one quarterback to another? He's always interested in improving. And I think Schottenheimer has brought that to this offense. And that's taking nothing away from the guys who were here before. They were all terrific coaches. Bev was as good an offensive coordinator as there is around. But it's a different mindset and a different sense and different set of responsibilities in many cases that you're asking Russell to do. And quite frankly, don't ask him to do as much as he did a year ago, and you'll be more successful. Ask him to hit his back foot and throw on timing. Ask him to trust that the protection will be there. Ask him to trust that his receiver will hit that hole behind the linebackers when he's supposed to and just put the ball there. Those kinds of things will, I think, help Russell immeasurably, and we've already seen it during preseason.
Oh, no question. And that's, I mean, because you've called more first quarter touchdown drives than at any time last
yeah.
year in the
exactly.
preseason.
Exactly. Yeah. And that was, you know, it was just got to be almost funny if it weren't kind of sad and didn't make it so difficult on the team. And that is every game started that way, that with basically a three and out or, you know, a drive that stalls near midfield or something, because again, the team had such a difficult time keeping up with the sticks, as you know, the coaches like to say. That will be better this year, no question.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it's funny because again, I know that you look at fantasy circuits and all that stuff, and I think most people believe Rashad Penny is going to be a very good running back, you know, meriting that first round selection. But what's amazing is that Carson has outperformed him so far. And, you know, he's not going to, at this stage, Penny can't beat him out.
Yeah, and we just didn't get a chance to see enough of Penny. Now, they did in practice, and as Pete has said all along, this guy is the real deal. He will, if he breaks through the line of scrimmage, he separates in a hurry. There are virtually no safeties, except maybe the one who's playing on our team, and that's number 29, who will catch him from behind. He is that fast and that big and strong, and we haven't had a chance to see him except for the first preseason game. So that will, I think, offer something up to the opposing defense that they can practice all they want. They can try to replicate that during their drills, but it's going to be difficult. And then you have that 1-2 battering ram of he and Chris Carson, and then you throw in C.J. Procise. If he doesn't have to be the every down back, if he can be that third down guy with his receiving skills, now you have a rotation that I think you can really depend on and you can really like, and will make, as we talked about, Doug and Tyler and Jerron Brown, all those guys more effective as receivers.
No question. And then what do you like about the left side of the offensive line?
Well, just what's not to like. I mean, those are, they're big, strong guys. And when you're talking about being anchored over there on the left side by Dwayne Brown, you know, a Pro Bowler, a smart veteran, leader of a player on that offensive front, that's the kind of guy that you want there. And I think kudos to John and to Pete stretching that out, signing the extension. John said when Dwayne Brown got here from Houston, I hope he finishes his career here, and it looks like he will. And he is a rock on that left side. Ethan Posick, I think, has very quietly had a terrific training camp. I mean, you look at him, watch the film, watch him pull, watch him trap block, the kinds of things that really he wasn't asked to do very much in his first year, he did this preseason. I think he's bigger, stronger, better. And then consider Justin Britt as part of that left side too, because he goes either to the left side or the right side. And he is the kind of the obviously that anchor in the middle who will make the calls, who will get the guys lined up right, get them looking, counting properly, knowing who the middle linebacker is, all those kinds of things that a center has to do. His experience now is really going to start playing in there. I don't know if we'll be as left-handed as we were in the days of Walter Jones and Hutchison, but I think we'll be pretty strong on that left side.
Yeah, tend to agree with that. Then, of course, what's going to be the most fun thing about the game on Sunday is just seeing what Shaquem Griffin can do, because he's been phenomenal in the preseason. With K.J. Wright being out, he gets his first start, and he really becomes one of the biggest stories in the National Football League this weekend.
Isn't it great? I mean, you've been covering, John, the National Football League for what? 40 years, 35
years,
something like that. And you know, I
don't
know
that I remember. Are you saying I'm old? No.
Well, okay, if you must, yes. But I'm putting myself in that same category, too, because you and I are contemporaries. We came up about the same time through the ranks. And I don't know that I have seen a story. Let me put it this way. I don't know that there is a story in the NFL that has ever gotten my wife as excited about the Seahawks as this one. She loved Matt. She loved Sean. She loved Beast Mode and Russell. But the story of these two brothers, and especially Shaquem, and what he has overcome to start in his first regular season game in the National Football League. And listen, we know if KJ were healthy, he would be there. And in another couple of weeks, he will be back there. But this is just such a wonderful story. And the kid can play. The kid can run and hit. Don't ask him to diagnose a lot. Make things a little bit simpler for him. And I'm sure that Kenny Norton Jr. is going to do just that come Sunday. But just let him react as a football player, and he will make plays. There's no question about that. And on top of that, his smile just lights up a room. He is just such a fun kid to be around.
And that's the transition of this team. I mean, this team had alpha males. It had all kind of characters and everything else. I mean, and, you know, guys that were really, I mean, they defied you to make you beat them. I mean, because, again, they didn't want to lose. I mean, Richard Sherman still lingers, I think, over any loss that he's had as a Seahawk. And it hurts him so much when you go back and you think about the losses. But this group, I mean, it seems like it's such a nice group. I mean, when your leaders are Russell Wilson, you know, KJ Wright, Bobby Wagner, sure, they can get on players and make sure that they perform, but they're so positive.
Yeah, and I think that's really the key. And again, I don't want to speak disparagingly of guys who won championships here and guys who built this franchise into what it is now and allow these young guys then to move in and grow as football players. But when you are someplace for a period of time, when you have had success, when you know that you're part of that success, and A, they should pay me, B, maybe I don't want to practice today, C, I've played these guys before, I get it, I understand. Some of that creeps in. It is human nature. And I think at some point you have a reset for a lot of reasons. Guys get old, guys get hurt, you decide to change your philosophy a little bit, all of the above. That's what's happened here. And Pete has been, I think, more animated and more excited about getting back to coaching young guys. Listen, The guys that won the championships were young guys once, and look at where he took that group. And so I think he sees, again, another opportunity to take a lot of young guys with a few really select and terrific leaders and, of course, a franchise quarterback that other teams can rebuild around all those players. But if you don't have the franchise quarterback, you're probably not going to get all the way to the promised land. So that's what Pete and John have put together, and now we see if these guys, A, do they have the horsepower? I think they do. And B, as the biggest thing that always, every season, and you look going into the first game of the season, and of course all year long, is injuries. Can we stay healthy? Because if you start losing your most important players or some of these really key young players, you know, after a while, there's a reason why those guys start and other guys back up.
Yeah. What was your reaction when Earl Thomas showed up Wednesday and now seems to be embraced?
Yeah, I was a little surprised he showed up, frankly, but really, what else was he going to do? I mean, he had no other choice. He could have stayed out another game or two, as Cam did a couple of years ago, and it still didn't change much for Cam. You know, he did eventually get what he wanted, but I don't think the Seahawks were going to do anything until he came back in. That's first and foremost. Now, you know, Earl is a very intense person. His teammates love him. I know Doug walked up to him and hugged him yesterday. But Earl was very cool and quiet at what I could see of him, especially out at practice and on the sidelines and watching. You know, does he expect to just walk right in and start right now like nothing happened? I don't think so. I think they're going to, you know, Tedrick Thompson has earned the right to be there right now. And if Earl is in good shape, if he's ready to go, if they think he can go out there without a preseason snap and hit and tackle and run the way that Earl Thomas can and has, then I think he'll play and I think he'll probably start. But it was just kind of a surprise. But what other choice did he have?
Yeah, no doubt. And that's the one thing you kind of wonder about with this, you know, move here is that, you know, they're a better team without question having Earl Thomas on it. And I guess if there's going to be an offer, which clearly there has not been, you know, it's a matter of, okay, at some point he gets to come back and help this team as long as he wants to be with this team.
Yeah, and that's the thing, John, that we don't know. I'm sure that he's had some conversations with his teammates. Maybe he's had a heart-to-heart with Pete, because he and Pete have been really close over the years. Pete has been his greatest champion, and there was a reason why he was as high a draft choice as he was and why he was considered so important to Pete when he first got here, knowing what Earl could do and how he could hold together the back end of the defense and do the things that he's done. But you're asking the right question. Now, after all of this, does Earl really want to be here? If they probably sign a big check for him and the extension comes through and he's one of the highest paid safeties in all of football, then yeah, he'll probably be happy. And I think he'll continue to play at a high level regardless. But does he want to be here? And some of that will seep into the players around him if you're not careful, if he doesn't want to be here. I think he does. I think he'll play well. And we'll see on Sunday if that begins against the Broncos.
Yeah. And that's the interesting thing, too, is that's why you kind of wonder if one of the things, if there was holding back any trade, which there's no holding back if the trade they were happy with at the value, was that week three, first home game, Dallas.
Yeah.
If you trade him to Dallas,
right,
think about the chance that Earl could come in here and help you lose a game.
Right. Yeah, that would be not very good. I mean, we saw this last year with Houston. Dwayne comes in, plays one game, and is traded by the team that they just played and comes here to the Seahawks and anchors that left side, injured and all, I might add. He came in here and sprained his ankle right away, and you hardly heard a peep out of him. I mean, he just went out there and kept playing, even though he wasn't 100%. So, yeah, I'd rather have Earl on my sidelines than on the other sidelines when the Cowboys come. I'd like to see him, like Pete said yesterday, I'd like to see him be a Seahawk for the rest of his career. If he plays in the next 8 years or 7 years like he played in his first seven or eight, then he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He'll certainly be in the Ring of Honor. He'll be all those things that he deserves. And he might very well help lead this team to another Super Bowl championship. But If he doesn't, then the Seahawks are going to have some decisions to make either during this season or when the season ends.
And finally, how would you describe the speed of this defense? Because now you got Barkevius Mingo in for Michael Wilhoit. I mean, you know how fast they are in the secondary. I mean, say what you want. Losing Cam Chancellor does hurt a lot because he meant so much. But if you have, you know, Thomas and Tedrick Thompson or Thomas back there at free, McDougal's a better cover guy. The speed on this team has increased on defense.
Yeah, and we know, you and I, having covered Pete Carroll and what he wanted to build when he first got here defensively, he wants guys that can run and hit. Those two things are what everybody talks about defensively. And even, you know, take a look. Frank Clark. Frank can get from sideline to sideline as a defensive end. So Rasheem Green, we've seen him here in training camp come off that corner like a shot, and he's a big young man. He will do well. Jacob Martin, backup linebacker. This kid can run. And then look at the other backup players that you have. All of them can run and hit. So that's what the Seahawks are trying to get back to. That's where they are. Bobby still has the wheels. KJ does as well. I think that this defense, again, if they can get that chemistry, which is not going to come overnight, and if they can continue to hone the communication, that when Bobby looks out there, he knows what's going to happen, as he did with Sherm and Cam and with Earl behind him and with Michael Bennett in front of him. When they can do that, this team will be one to be reckoned with. And again, as you said, I think the offense is going to be that much more improved than a year ago.
Steve, it's fun catching up with you in the start of the season. I think it's fitting to have you preview the year. It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to the season again with you on the broadcast, and looking forward to seeing you in Denver on Sunday.
John, I enjoy it. You're the best. You're the smartest guy. Certainly, counting me and Dave Wyman in the booth, you're the smartest guy that is in that booth with us. So thanks between the two of us. We appreciate having you with us.
Hey, thank you so much, and thanks for joining us on Schooled with a Professor. And that does it for this week's podcast. In between episodes, you can follow me on Twitter at ClaytonESPN. If you enjoy these weekly one-on-one conversations, consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Schooled with the Professor.